Welcome to the Christian Worship Hour and this classic program from Pastor Harold E. Salem. The mission of the Christian Worship Hour is to share the good news of the gospel with a lost world and to encourage and equip Christians to pray for our families and our nations. Please join with us and the members of our church family as we study the incomparable Word of God. And stay tuned to this classic program to learn more about how you can be a part of God's amazing plan to reach the world. We hope you will be blessed by today's program.
I'm Pastor Salem. I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And we're going to have a good service today and a good time. We're going to be looking about Isaiah when he said yes to God. And I wonder if you've always said yes to God. I know I haven't, and I changed my mind. And so we're going to see about Isaiah, a great man of God. The psalmist puts it like this in Psalm 102. Of old hast thou laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years have no end. The children of thy servants shall continue, and their seed shall be established before thee. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're such a great God, that after the stars are gone and earth is no more, you are there, the same yesterday, today, and forever. We thank you that you're mindful of us and that you love us, and you receive us if we come to you repenting and confessing our sins and asking you to come into our heart. You'll never turn us away. You'll accept us every time. And so, my dear Lord, as the message goes out today, may multitudes make that prayer. Dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. Please come into my heart and take my sins away, and I'll serve you the best I can. Thank you, Jesus. Dear Lord, may many, many pray that prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. And Barb's going to be singing for us, Someone to Care, and that's a beautiful song. It's a beautiful Savior. God bless you, Barb.
Like no other can do. tears from your eyes. You're His child, and He cares for you.
Well, thank you, Barb. That's a wonderful message. That's the message of the gospel. That's why I love to preach, is because we have a wonderful Savior, Jesus, and He cares for you. And I know some of you are saying, because I get letters from you, and you say, I know He doesn't care for me. I'm such a sinner. I've done such terrible things. God will have no part with me. That's what Peter thought when he denied the Lord and went out and wept bitterly. He thought, oh, Jesus has done for me. But He'll always take us back. And as long as we repent and we come to Him, His arms are wide open. When you read the scriptures, you don't read any place where Jesus turned anybody down. You read where people left Him and people wouldn't give to Him or surrender to Him. But you never place where Jesus never turned somebody away, wouldn't help them. And that's what the gospel is all about. And that's why we preach it all the time, because Christianity is the only gospel it's the only one that has grace and peace. It's the only one that has Jesus. And you know this, someone who cares, you know how much He cares for you? He cares so much that He went to the cross, the old rugged cross. He died on that cross and paid for our sins with His own blood. That's how much He loved us. The writer to the Hebrews said about Jesus going to the cross, that He endured the cross, despising the shame, but who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, and that Jesus loved us so much He died for us. I don't know if I have anybody die for me. Do you have somebody die for you? Jesus did. So don't turn Him away. Ask Him into your heart and say, Dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins, and I just ask You to come into my heart and wash them all away in Your wonderful blood. Just to come into my heart, take away my sins, and I'll follow You the best I can. Thank You, Jesus. If you do that, you have eternal life, and I'll see you in heaven. Well, we always have so many nice letters. It's hard to decide which ones to read, but we want to share some that I think will bless you. And the first one is from a man who's in prison. And it's a nice town, sounds like a nice town, Lovelady, Texas. And he's in jail in Lovelady, so I don't know, but that's the way it is. And he writes and he said, I listen to you every Sunday night here in my prison cell. In fact, I wait all week for you to come on again. I never miss it. Thank you for your time and service. You're a big lift for me. I enjoy listening to you. I'm 64 this month, and I'm really trying to change my life. You help me. I've been here 7 years, and I might get to go home for Christmas. I sure hope so. I intend to listen to you every Sunday until one of us is called home. And I thought that was a nice way to end it. He says, until one of us is called home. So he's 64, and I'm 98, and who do you suppose going to get called home first? See, if that's not bad. Paul says, for me, to be with Christ is gain. People think, it's a great loss when you lose your life. Paul says it's a great gain. He's with Christ. He's in the presence of the Lord. So whenever that comes for this dear prisoner, for me, I don't know, but we'll see the wonderful Savior, and I'll see him. I'll see this man and visit with him in heaven. Won't that be great? Now, here's one about giving. And this is from Kansas City, Missouri. And he writes, this is a gentleman writing this, says, I love to hear your sermon on Sunday. Sometimes it cheers me up. Sometimes, he says, well, that's good. The Lord loves a cheerful giver. And he just out of the blue says, the Lord loves a cheerful giver. God bless you always. Well, that is right. God loves a cheerful giver. I see on outside one church, it says, God loves a cheerful giver, but He will receive money from a grouch. Well, some of you, I know, it just kills you to to give. You think that money's yours. You got it in your pocket. It doesn't belong to you. That belongs to God. And you're just giving God part of his money back. That's all you're doing. And just remember this, friend, that God owns everything. God owns a store and we just work in it. And all of the money of the world belongs to him. But sometimes it does hurt people to give, I know. And there's a little poem I ran across that says, once there was a Christian, he had a pious book. His consecration was complete except his pocketbook. He'd put a nickel on the plate, and then with might and main, he'd sing, when we asunder part, it gives us inward pain. Well, if it pains you to give, give more, and keep giving till it feels good. It all belongs to God. Well, let's see, Tucson, Arizona. And this person writes, I would like to say thank you for preaching all these years and thankful that me and my family can watch your program here in Tucson on Sunday mornings. You've helped me get through some tough times when I was unemployed, and your sermons have united my family. My family doesn't like preachers. My family doesn't like preachers and thinks they're all shysters and crooks, and when preaching you, he'll listen to your sermons because you're a great, honest pastor. I pray that God, Christian Worship Hour stays on shortwave radio and TV for years to come. Well, I want to tell you, they're not all shysters. There's some really great men of God preaching, men and women that love the Lord and are preaching. But in the same breath, there are some shysters. And they're doing it in the name of Jesus. And what do you suppose they're going to do when they greet God Almighty all alone, and they've cheated God's people, and they've lied, and they've been wrong and evil? And if they don't come to Jesus, they're going to be a terrible place for them, where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And so just serve the Lord, and be sure you open your heart to the Lord. And if you wonder about the Christian Worship Hour, if we're shysters, we're a member of what they call the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability, and that's an international organization, and they audit our books every year. So every penny we get is receipted, and every penny we spend is accounted for, and it's all on the level, and we're proud of it. What do we got here? Oh, here's a nice letter. Just all of you that you're a little down on God or something, I want you to listen to this. This is a lady. Casper, Wyoming. I'm 90 years old. I had polio when I was 18 months old and was paralyzed from the waist down. My parents were wonderful Christians who prayed and fasted for my healing. It seemed my dear Lord embraced me as a father would his child, and showed me that this was his will for me. Listen to what she says. I understood and accepted it. It's okay. He promised to be always with me through all my needs, and praise God, he never has failed me. Isn't that a beautiful letter? She's prayed from just a child, 18 months old, paralyzed from the waist down. And she says, the Father just took me in his arms and he told me, that's my will for you. And she says, it's okay with me. I know some that would be mad at God and be angry with God and be nothing but just a big pain in you know where. Just give yourself to God and put yourselves in God's hands, and he'll lead you and he'll guide you and direct you and help you along the way, this wonderful Savior. Here's a letter from Sheridan, Wyoming, and he says, I love the ministry. I'm one of the survivors of the attack on the USS Liberty on June 8, 1967. We were attacked by the enemy with all their might, and still the Liberty would not go down. I was down below when the torpedo hit the ship on the starboard side, about 40 feet away, and still I'm here. I was in prayer after a captain said on the ship's intercom to prepare for torpedo attack. Seconds before the torpedo exploded, I heard a voice that simply said, get down now. I was standing, and yet I found myself with my nose flat on the deck when the explosion occurred. My men all died around me, and yet I remained alive. It was the power of God and God alone that kept me alive. Maybe to tell the story, it was one miracle after another that kept the ship afloat, and it wasn't the crew that saved the ship. It was Christ and Christ alone. Isn't that a nice letter? And here he is. God spared his life, and he's witnessing and he's telling others about the love of God and the care of God. One more I have to share with you. I just like this. Fargo, North Dakota says, thank you for the sermons. I love watching and listening to your program every Sunday. And listen to this, what she writes. My life has changed since I asked the Lord into my heart. Thank you all. My life has changed since I asked the Lord into my life. You know what God says in 2 Corinthians 5:17? God says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. That's Jesus. That's the new birth. And that's why we preach and that's why we pray. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. He'll never turn you away. Just ask him into your heart and go on your way rejoicing. And you'll leave the old way. Some of your old friends won't work out anymore. Some of the places you used to go, you won't go there more. Then some of the places you didn't go, you'll start going. And you'll live a new life because you're a new creature. God bless you. Now, if you'd like to write to us and maybe send a gift and assure us of your prayers, you write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. And the box is easy to remember. It's 2002, Post Office Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And we'll hear from you. Maybe we'll read your letter. And at least we'll pray for you and bless us. So God bless you. And now Jan's going to play, and she's got a piano solo. And she always blesses with her playing. God bless you, Jan. Thank you, Jan. Always enjoy her piano solos. God bless you. Well, we're reading from Isaiah today, and the opening verses of Isaiah chapter 6. And this is the story of Isaiah the prophet, and he goes to the temple because the king had died. And he went to see the king, and he went to see the throne. And the throne wasn't empty, because high and high, God was sitting on the throne. The king was dead, but God wasn't dead. And so then Isaiah has this great vision of God, and God asks him to do something, and he replies. So that's what we're going to preach about. So Isaiah writes, and he says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I also saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face. With twain he covered his feet. With twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, and the whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. He laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched my lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And then he said, Isaiah said, Here am I, send me. Here am I, send me. We're going to look at that and we're going to have a prayer. In our prayer, we always pray for the persecuted church, and we're praying for our brothers and sisters in Libya. Pray for them as we have our prayer. So, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this vision of Isaiah. What a tremendous prophet of God he was. And he faced you, Lord, and he came to the temple and answered your call. And when you said, Who shall we send? And dear Lord, you said it in the plural because it's the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And so who shall we send? And Isaiah said, Here am I, Lord. Send me. He said, Yes. Oh God, I pray that I'll always say yes to you. There's been times I've been lax, and there's times I haven't really obeyed as I should have. But oh Lord, I pray that here on out that I'll never say no to you. And Lord, I'm praying for your people everywhere so that they will always be obedient, Lord. Maybe they won't know what exactly you want them to do. Maybe there's some young people today, Lord, and you're wanting them maybe go into the ministry or go into something else. I don't know. But just help them to be open to you. And when you call them, help them to say, Dear Lord, here I am. Send me. I want to go. I want to be one of your people. And then, Lord, we pray for the persecuted church, our brothers and sisters in Libya. We know that some of them have given their life, Lord. We admire those people that were true unto death. I wonder if I would do that. I hope so. But they have proved their love for you. And because they have done that, Lord, it strengthens me. And I see my brothers and my sisters going through the fire and standing true. And it challenges me and helps me and help them to know that they're a blessing to the whole world when they stand up for you, even unto death. And Lord, I know you'll comfort them, and I know you'll be with them, because you said you'd never leave us or forsake us. And someday, Lord, maybe be soon, the trumpet will sound, and time will be no more. And we'll all gather around that throne of God, the judgment seat of Christ, and we'll be given a crown, and they'll get the martyr's crown. And won't that be beautiful? And that crown they can take and cast at your feet. Oh, God, we look forward to that day. and it'll come, sure as a world. So bless us in this service. First of all who don't know you will open their heart to you. And then all of us who know you will say yes. Yes, no matter what it is. And we'll give you the thanks and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Now before the message, Melissa's going to sing, "I'd Rather Have Jesus," and God bless you, Melissa.
God bless you.
I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand than to be the king of a vast domain and be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than this world affords today. I'd rather have Jesus than worldly applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to his holy name than to be the king of a vast domain and be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than this world affords today. He's fairer than lilies of rarest bloom. He's sweeter than honey from out of the comb. He's all that my hungering spirit needs. I'd rather have Jesus and let him lead than to be the king of a vast domain and be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today.
Thank you, Melissa. Boy, a lot of us can say amen to that. Can you say amen to that? The most wonderful person in the world, the most wonderful thing there is Jesus, that wonderful Jesus. And I've always said this so many times, if you don't love Jesus, it's because you don't know him. If you came to know Jesus, you would love him and you would love him more than anything the world has. You say, yeah, well, I would like that. I do want Jesus, but I don't know how to accept him. What do I do? And you just do it so a child can do it. I was 10 years old, out in a country school. And behind the times, brother, I was a champion behind the times. But that pastor talked about this service, this sermon, about Isaiah and his vision of God. And he preached that one, and then he said, now if you want to accept Jesus, you just come on up and join with me here. And you can't come and join up with me, but you can do this. You just say, dear Jesus, I'm a sinner. Now God knows that, but he wants us to confess it. I'm a sinner, Lord, and I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sins. And he can take away your sins because he shed his blood on the cross. And God says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. But he also tells us the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And so you ask Jesus, come into your heart, take away your sins. And then you tell him that you'll serve him the best you can. So you'll make him the king of your life. And then you thank him. Thank him for coming into your heart. And if you do that, I was 10 years old. That's 88 years ago. I remember it as plain as if it was yesterday. And the Lord has been with me all the way along the trail, all that long, that 88 years. And he's going to be with me till I enter the pearly gates, and then I want to see him personally. So during this service, you make that prayer if you haven't done it. I'd rather have Jesus. Amen to that. Well, look at Isaiah here. It says in the year that King Uzziah died, here Isaiah has this vision. He sees the Lord sitting high upon the throne. And the king of Israel had died and it was empty. But God's throne is never empty. Because we have a Jesus Christ who has never died. He has the same yesterday, today, and forever. And after all the world is over with, that Jesus Christ will live and we will live with him. And so is he had that vision. And when he saw that vision of God sitting on the throne, he says, woe is me, I'm done. I am done. Because I'm a man of unclean lips and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And so he is just, he's a terrible sinner, he says. And as a result of that confession of his sins, see, he's confessing that he's a sinner. We have to do that to go to Jesus. If we think we're going to get to heaven on our own good works, we're going to be in hell forever. Because there's only one way, and that's through Jesus. And so we come to Jesus, see. And he confessed his sins. And then this is what happened. He says, woe is me, I'm undone. I live in a people with unclean lips and so on. And then I saw the result of that confession. He says, then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, and he touches his tongue with those wild cleansing coals. And that man, Isaiah, is cleansed before God. And he's never ready for service until he's cleansed. That is, you can't serve God until you're born again. You can't serve God. You're just wasting your time. You've got to have Jesus. And so here he is. He has a Jesus. He has God in his heart. And it's just like somebody said, there are no draftees in God's army. They're all volunteers. And you don't have to serve God. And you don't have to serve Jesus. Because you're a free moral agent. And if you want to, you can turn your back on Jesus and go all the way into a Christless eternity. God lets you do that. But it breaks his heart. And he wants you to turn to him. And so this man here, he gives himself to the Lord. And that's what Jesus tells us. He tells us, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. That was Isaiah's response. He was full of devotion to God. He loved God. It was total abandonment. It was total commitment. It was total self-sacrifice. And that's what Jesus calls for. He wants all of us. He doesn't want half-hearted service. He doesn't want loose change giving. He doesn't want leftover things that God we can't use, so we put on a sale and give it to the Lord. He wants to be first place, take first, and that's the only way he'll respond to us. We have to open our heart to him and make him first in our life. And so then this is what happened. God has a response in Isaiah to Isaiah. God gave a call for messengers, and Isaiah eagerly volunteers for God's service. And then the call went out. And the response was made. And then he says, who will go for us? He says, send me. That is God's way. He calls for volunteers. He'll never give you a neck hold and put you down on the floor and squeeze you to death. He's your free moral agent. And if you want to curse God, you can curse God to your own damnation. And you don't have to do anything. It's just volunteers for God. That's God's way. He makes us to follow him, and he gives us a free will. And we can serve God or we can, but there is no middle ground. You're serving God or you're serving the devil. And I know I run into people all the time. And they say, well, I don't take sides. I'm an independent and I don't take sides. Well, God says there is no middle ground with him. You know what he says? God says, if you're not for me, you're against me. It's black or it's white. It's in or it's out. You're God's or you're the devil's. That's all there is. No middle ground. And that's what he's telling Isaiah, and that's what he's telling us, where he says that he wants us to follow him, but we have to make that decision. I remember as a little boy, I accepted the Lord, and I gave him my heart, and I accepted Jesus. And the minute I accepted him, I remember as plain as if it was yesterday that Jesus has been with me all the way. God needs dedicated workers, and he wants us to say, dear Jesus, I'll serve you. I may not understand why things are happening to my life the way it is, and I may not understand the flow of things at all, but I'll give you my all that I have, and I'll just won't hold anything back, and there'll be no secrets. It's all open to you. That's what God wants. So many people, times Christians are slow to answer, and you can be saved and not a dedicated Christian, because if you accept Jesus Christ, you're born again. And we have all kinds of lukewarm Christians. We're talked about the church of Laodicea, and in Corinth they had sick Christians that were living terrible lives, and yet Paul says God took some of you home. Because you were so wicked, he took you home. He didn't put you in hell. He just took you out of this world and took you to be with him. So we have to have that dedicated life. And perhaps we have to do that in this 20th century. Joshua called out to us, and he says, boldly and loudly and clearly, how long halt ye between two opinions? Choose Jesus Christ. How long are you going to sit there and wait to try to make up your mind? I've been in the work now in the ministry for 76 years. Can you imagine it? And I've seen people serve. See, they're on the line. They're going to accept Jesus. And they do accept Jesus, but they don't give him their all. And that's what the Israelites were doing. Paul, Jeremiah, Joshua said, choose you today. You're going to serve God or you're going to serve the devil. You are no in between. So God, we need to do that. And Isaiah made a decision immediately. As soon as he heard the call of God, immediately he said, yes, here am I. Send me. He didn't have to go home and pray about it. He didn't have to worry about it and try to figure out. He says, right that minute, he would do that. That's what we've been called to do, is to serve and to witness. No, we have been commanded to go out, not just a call. It's a command. Listen to what Jesus tells us in Matthew 28. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now he's talking to Christians, his followers, his people. He says, go ye therefore. Now, he didn't say, I wish you would go there, or you might consider going there, or if you have time, you could go there. He says, go. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And that's exactly what we need to do, is to make that stand. Isaiah's wonderful encounter was asked the same question, who will go for me? And he said, yes, I will. And God said, then go ye. And to the Christian, he's saying, go ye, serve me out into the world. Remember what Jesus told him after his resurrection from the grave? John 20:21. Then said Jesus unto them again, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And so you need to step out and walk with God and serve with God. Give him all you want, all you have. So God wants us to walk and to talk like Jesus. He told us in 1 John 2:6, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. And so in this wonderful prayer, in the high priestly prayer of Christ, he prays for his people. And what does he pray? As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. He's talking about his disciples. And after the resurrection, and when he's in the upper room, he's telling the same thing. Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Look at that. He gives them peace, see? Peace be unto you. He gives us peace, and then he sends us. And we are to be obedient to him and go out. He gives us peace first. We don't find peace through service. We have our peace, and because we have peace, we have our service. Jesus gives us peace, and then he sends us out. Because if we don't have peace at heart ourselves, where will we go, and what will we do, and what good will we be? So we make that peace with God. Peace with the Lord Jesus and peace with God the Father. And then we go out to serve. And we go with a strong step. And we never look back. We have to only one way to go, and that's forward. So Jesus sends us as the Father sent Jesus. Jesus is our pattern. And what did Jesus do? He came to this world and he obeyed the Father even unto death. And I tell you, I am so thrilled that as we preach, the persecuted church can help us. We're on a shortwave radio in 90% of the world. And I know that we have persecuted people worshiping with us. And this wonderful Jesus, it says, I'll be with you and I'll help you and I'll give you peace, even amidst the men, the struggles and the trials and the sorrows that you might have. Then just follow me. In order to get the message out, we have to go out. We have to get out. We have to pray. We have to dedicate ourselves wholly to the Lord. And so let's look at the message then. He's going to go. And Isaiah says, what will I say? He says, go. But he says, here's the message. So God says, I'll tell you what to do. He says, it's in Isaiah 6, verses 9 and 10. He said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and be converted, and be healed. God is telling Isaiah before he ever went, before he ever preached, he told him they're not going to listen to you because they're all set in their ways. He says they will not hear, they will not listen, they will not respond. And when you give the altar call and when you give the witness to them to come, they are not going to come. God is telling Isaiah, this is what he says, I want you to carry that message because no one is going to respond, but I want you to preach it anyway. Harry Ironside has a comment on this. He's going to preach and nobody's going to respond. Harry Iron says this, even though the words seem to have no other effect than to harden them in their sins and rebellion, Isaiah has to proclaim the message faithfully. The servant of God is responsible to the Lord himself. Having received this commission, he is to go forth and in the name of the one who sends him, declaring the message committed to him. The results are left up with God. Whether men hear or whether they forbear, it doesn't matter. It is up to God. And this is the point. It has to be this, that when these people stand in the judgment seat before that great, great, great white throne, when they stand to be judged and put into that perdition forever, they can never say that God didn't tell them. They can never say that God didn't warn them. God is just and he's giving them the chance and he's sending a good servant, his faithful servant, but he can only do it because they will. So that in that judgment day, they can't say, he didn't tell me. He didn't give me a chance. And so this wonderful Jesus, when we go, we need to be faithful. And if people respond, that's fine. And if they don't respond, that's just fine. When I preach a message and I give an invitation, I'm giving it right now to come to Jesus. And if you don't come, then I say, well, they didn't come. If I could be offended if I was asking you to come to me. I'm not asking you to come to me. I'm asking you to come to Jesus. And if you don't want to go to Jesus, you don't have to. You can go and follow the devil and be with the devil in that crowd forever and ever. And won't that be some picnic when you're in that place? So Isaiah tells God, he tells Isaiah, so you preach, and I think give him a chance. I want to give him a chance. And that's what he did. So Isaiah, how long should he carry on with this impossible mission? And Isaiah says, well, how shall I do it? Shall I give him one sermon and go home? What should I do? And then said I, Lord, how long? How long do you want me to preach this message? Good question. And he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate, and the Lord have removed men far away, and there be great forsaking in the midst of their land. In other words, God is saying, I want you to keep preaching, my friend. You keep preaching no matter what happens, and if nobody comes, you preach it just the same. And I preach this gospel, and I don't know. I know there's some people coming. I'm just sure. But if nobody comes, that's just tough. I'm being faithful to God, and I'll preach that word. So do it all for Jesus. I did it for the Lord. He loved the Lord, and he preached the word. And there's no cutoff time for our service to God. God didn't tell Isaiah. Well, he says, Sonny, you just go over there and serve me until you're 60 or 62 or 65, long in there somewhere. And then, or 20 years, that'd be pretty good. And then they'll give you a card. Maybe they'll give you a watch or something like that. And then you go home and you sit. And you sit for 20 or 30 years. And after gaining all that experience and after preaching that word and knowing what you should be doing, you go home and you just sit and just sit, put your feet up on that couch. Does God say that? No, that's what the politicians tell us. You know who sets the age for us to retire? Politicians. That ought to tell you something. You know what God says? God says we're to serve him. He says, Adam, he says, from the sweat of your brow, you're going to work until you go to the grave. You're going to go by the sweat of your brow. He wants us to work until we drop. That's what we're doing. And I'm 98 years old, and I'm happy that God lets me. I know there's a lot of you folks who are shut-ins. You can't get out, and you can't get out and preach, but you can pray, and you can give, and you can witness, and you can tell others, and you can be on one little old lady, and she just got the telephone book, and she just dialed anybody's number. And they'd answer, and then she'd say, well, would you like to know about, I'd like to tell you about Jesus. And she says, sometimes they do let me tell you about Jesus. But then she says, sometimes they say words I don't even know what they mean. Poor little thing, see? But you, as long as you live, somebody says, well, why am I in old age? Why am I still here? You're here to glorify God. And you do that by witnessing and telling others and helping others come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, my. And the purpose of this whole thing is that people will be saved, that God will be vindicated, and that people will come to the Lord. And remember, we're told in the scriptures that God wants us to proclaim the word to all the world. And I am so thankful. I just praise God that he's letting us preach to all the world. And we're vindicating God. And maybe there'll be some people, and they'll laugh us away. There'll be some people that'll come. There'll be some that'll, and then there'll be some that'll put it off. And then, so you know why they put it off? Because the devil tells them to. The devil will never tell you not to accept Jesus. He will never tell you. He will never tell you that Jesus is in the tomb, because he knows he isn't. And the whole world knows that tomb is empty. And he will never tell you to turn Jesus away. He will tell you to wait. Wait. Put it off. Wait until your birthday. Or you, some of you men, your husband, your wife who loves the Lord Jesus, and she's trying to witness to you, and you're just like a bump on a log, and you're not responding at all, and she's praying for you, and oh, dear God, and she wants you to come to Jesus, and you, there you sit, you don't move. And so maybe he's telling some of you men, he's telling, well, oh, I know what I'll do. I should accept Jesus, and I want Jesus. No, I want Jesus, and I know I should do Jesus. And so what I'll do, I'll wait till our anniversary. And on our anniversary, I'll tell her, guess what? I accepted Jesus. But he dies the day before his anniversary. So where is he? You know where he's at. Don't put it off. And there may be some of you, you've had time and time again when you, the invitation is giving, and this is their Jesus. And you turn him away, and you put him away, and you don't accept him. You know what? I accepted Jesus the first time I ever heard the invitation. I'll tell you what happened. My mother was the making of me. My earliest recollection of my mother was her at bedtime. She had three boys in a row there, 2 years apart, each one. And we put the three of us in one bed. Can you imagine that? Three boys in the bed? That's what we did. And then my mother would read a Bible, a story from the Bible. A Bible story book that she had. I remember she had a picture of Peter sinking in the water and so on. And Daniel in the lion's den, I could still see that. And then she would read that Bible. And she would read that Bible story. And then she'd have a prayer. And she'd have a kiss. And I knew all about Jesus. I knew he was loving. I knew he loved me. I knew he died for me. I knew all of that, but I didn't ask him into my heart. Because my mother didn't know about that part. And so when that evangelist gave the invitation, I went the first time because mother told me all about Jesus. And I went, and my mother accepted Jesus. And my mother and I were baptized together. And I'm going to tell you, if Jesus is talking to you, don't you put it off. That's the first thing that's going to come to your mind. But this is what you do. You say, dear Jesus, I'm so sorry for my sins, and I ask you to please come into my heart and take them away. And dear Jesus, I'll follow you the best I can. Jesus taught repentance. He says you come from the pig pen and you accept Jesus, you don't go back to the pig pen. Your life changes and your attitudes change. To some of you, it's a big change. To some, it's a little change because you're morally pretty good, see? But there's a change in attitude to things that are important and the things that have meaning to you. There's a change. And so you say, dear Jesus, please come into my heart and take away my sins. And I'll serve you the best I can. You won't be perfect. You'll sin after you're saved. But those are all paid for on the cross. Just ask him to forgive you. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So Jesus, just come into my heart. Take away my sins. I'll follow you the best I can. Thank you, Jesus. Now, if you made that prayer, you write to us and we'll send you literature. Or you can get on our website, ChristianWorshipHour.com, and you have the way of salvation printed out there. But we'll be glad that anywhere in the world we'll send you that. And so you write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. The Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And if you'd like to have our little Bible study, we have a little Bible study we send out. And this month we talk about an ever-loving friend. It's about Jesus. It's free and postpaid. And you just write to us and say, I'd like to have the new song. And we'll send it to you, happily to send it to you. And you say, well, how can you send all that out? That costs postage, costs money. Won't you go broke? No, we won't go broke. You know why? Because we look to God's people to support our ministry. We're not underwritten by any denomination or organization or corporation. We are underwritten by the people of God, God's people. And so this is what you have to do. You say, dear Jesus, is the Christian Worship Hour something that I should be supporting? Do you want me to pray for them? Do you want me to give to them? And he'll say yes or he'll say no. If he says no, then don't you keep that money. You give it somewhere else, see? You sure give it to the Lord. And then he'll tell you, you send it to the Christian Worship Hour. And I'm giving it again for the shortwave people. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And then you say, I'd like the new song. And we'll send that a little Bible study every month. And it'll be a blessing to you and it'll be a help to you. And be sure that you pray for us. And if you possibly can, you help us. Because as I said, we're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. That's an international organization, and they check all our books, every penny we get, every penny we spend, and we're clean as a hound's tooth. And for you young people, that means we're upright, we're all right, we're all clear, and you can send money, and it'll go where it should go. And so you just do that. Don't forget us. Now we want to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for the multitudes of people that are praying right now to receive you into their life. Lord, we pray for the shut-ins. We pray for the aged and those who can't get around. Just help them to know that you're with them at all times. And Lord, we pray for the young people and all of the temptations they have. Oh God, watch over them and help them. They need Jesus. And the children can understand. I was 10 years old. I remember it as plain as day. Help them to come to you. And we'll give you the thanks and praise in Jesus' name. So let me give it one more time for our shut-in, for our shortwave people. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota. And before we go, I have to say this. God loves you. He loves you so much that he gave his son. And some people say, he couldn't love me. Yes, he does. He loves you. And I want you to know that everybody on the Christian Worship Hour team loves you. For over 40 years, we've been preaching. Most of them, all of them are volunteers. So we can tell you that about Jesus' love. And we love you. And I want to tell you something else, friend. I gave my whole life, 76 years now I'm on it. 76 years, because I love you and I want you to come to Jesus. I know that you'll come if you're here, and I know that if you're here and you come, I'll see you in heaven. So you do that, and God bless you and all of us, and we'll see you over there. God bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've been watching the Christian Worship Hour, the weekly broadcast that brings good news to the lost and encouragement to the believer. We hope that today's program has been a blessing in your life. Support our ministry by contacting us at the Christian Worship Hour, P.O. Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402, or visit us online at christianworshiphour.com. Be sure to join next week for another life-changing message from Pastor Salem.